Bill, thank you, Engineer Janet Anderson. I'll have the show online later today at stageandstudio.org, as well as kboo.fm/stageandstudio, and iTunes as well. So you can like us on facebook.com/stage_studio, or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts.
This is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. My name is Zoe Piliafis with Vox Siren. Thank you for joining us on this special edition of International Women's Day. We have special guests today, Kimberly Shang with Black United Fund, and Marka Jacobson, an independent photographer, writer, and co-founder of Brushfire Creatives. And together, we are celebrating International Women's Day. First up in local news, PNCA's 511 Gallery is pleased to welcome artist Wang Chimutu to PNCA as part of the Jordan D. Schnitzer Exhibition and Visiting Artist Series. Ms. Mutu is a trained sculptor and studied anthropology, but first came to prominence, through her collage works with a fusion of diversity of sources culled from the image gluttony of the late 20th century and 21st century. The lectures take place on March 10th from 6:30 to 8 at PNCA. The ladies are taking tons of pictures in here. They're making me giggle. Later on that same evening, Deep Underground presents Know Your Rights at In Other Words. They will be occupying this space in hopes to gather the Doug community under one local establishment roof to socialize, network, watch, learn, listen, all of that. This is going down 7:30 to 10:30. And lastly, the Regional Arts and Culture Council 2016 Fall Professional Development Cycle is about to start. Listen to this, artist. The Professional Development Grant Program assists artists and arts administrators with opportunities that specifically improve their business management development skills and or brings the artist and the arts organizations to another level artistically. There will be an orientation at the RAC offices on Wednesday, March 30th from 3 to 5 p.m. The intent to apply is due April 6th. Let me introduce our guest. I'm excited to celebrate with the KBOO audience International Women's Day. Andre called me up, Andre Middleton, he's usually the host, and he said I'd like to take a back seat, and I would love for Vox Siren to run the show. So I want to give a special shout out to Andre for providing this platform and also for stepping back and saying, women, run the show on International Women's Day. I'm not even going to show up. So he said, bring whoever you'd like. And I thought about it. I had the opportunity to work with Kimberly of Black United Fund. And it's been, I told her when I met her, she made me nervous. I had read about her before, and there's something about her presence that is intimidating, but powerful and welcoming, if those two things can be the same. Let me tell you a bit about her. She's the ED of the Black United Fund of Oregon, a more than 30-year-old legacy organization that believes that education is the catalyst for breaking generational barriers to family resilience. In addition to her work in the state of Oregon, Kimberly has worked nationally and globally on service projects that have emphasized youth education attainment and family stabilization within the cultural context of these regions. She also holds a master's degree in global leadership and management, and she was the 2015 honoree of the Coretta Scott King Humanitarian Service Award. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our second guest is the lovely, the talented, the sincere and loving woman, Margaret Jacobson. She is the owner and co-founder of Brushfire Creatives, an award-winning photographer, a writer. She recently spoke on Al Jazeera regarding Beyoncé's new song, Formation. And perhaps my favorite thing about Margaret Jacobson is that she recently received flowers from Beyoncé. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you.
Are those flowers still living?
Yes, because of you. Because you take care of them.
All right. So let me do some context setting for what we're going to talk about. Last summer, a beautiful mural was painted on the Black United Fund by artists Icho and Jeremy Lee. The mural was curated by my agency, Vox Siren, but it was the vision of the powerful Black United Fund ED, Kimberly. Kimberly selected the women. They are all important Black women in the civil rights movement. They are Coretta Scott King, Ruby Bridges, Ruby Dee, Angela Davis, and Maya Angelou. Today in the studio, we're going to be discussing the impact of art and the need to have art that is inclusive of everyone in our city. All right, Kimberly.
All right.
Take me back.
I feel like I want to say Beyoncé just once. Okay.
I said Beyoncé on the radio.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Take me back when you were young. What access to images did you have that reflected Black women in different forms of art?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, growing up with parents who were just extremely encouraging of myself and also to my three older sisters. There were no boys in the house with the exception of my dad and the dog. So there was lots of influences around me. My mother made a point to make sure that she took us to the ballet. And whenever the Harlem Dance Theater would pass through our town, that was something that we would go and see and just experience. And art was just a normal part of our day-to-day life. However, in our home, we didn't necessarily have art that reflected Black images. It was more scenery. And I had a consciousness about the fact that I believe that because it was difficult to find images that reflected us in a way that was positive and uplifting and wasn't necessarily always holding our burden or our struggle, that was a very conscious choice on my parents' part.
How can we do better as society? And what impact does this have? You know, we talked about when you're younger. What impact might this have on younger women, women of color, to not necessarily see images that are celebratory of who they are?
Well, you know, one of the things with the Black United Fund of Oregon is that we do have this focus and this emphasis on education. And 2/3 of the scholarship recipients that get support from us each year are female. And I think that, I'm going there. I'm going to get there. I think that there's a correlation between education, access, and attainment, and just your worldview in general. And so for me, I remember being in college and studying Coco Fusco, who is this Latin Cuban woman that's a mixed media artist, and Lorna Simpson, who is a Black photographer who also is a mixed media artist. But these women used the images of female bodies to really challenge society with some questions about, you know, race, gender, equity, all of these different things. For me, that was a huge eye-opener to how I saw myself in the world, but how I saw myself expressed through art.
Interesting. I'm going to move over to Margaret. Margaret, first let me say the mad love and respect I have for you as a writer, photographer, mother, and friend. You write for a publication called Romper. I say that right?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. Okay. You recently wrote an article, and I'm going to quote you and ask a question in it.
Cool.
You said, "We don't always think about representation or its importance, but it influences our children. Matter of fact, I didn't really think about its value until my daughter made its relevance plain and clear." Talk to me about this moment and what it means for you as a mother and a Black woman.
I think that having kids has made my Blackness more obvious and the importance of that conversation with myself and with my children. It was one of those things I feel like I was like, oh, we'll have a conversation someday about these things. But it was a thing that my daughter has always brought up, and she's mixed. And so for her, living in Oregon has always been this. She sees a lot of people that look like her father. but she doesn't see all of the people that look like me. And a lot of times she doesn't see children that look like her. And I would watch her get so excited when she would see a black woman on a magazine, and she'd be like, "Mom, this is just like you," because to her, I'm beautiful. And she doesn't understand why that isn't like seen. And I was like, oh my gosh, like representation. And it wasn't always a thing I thought of. Like I would see things and be like, that's too bad that black people weren't included in that, you know? But it was kind of still in the back of my head. And then noticing how my children are taking things in. And I was just thinking about what you were saying about Kimberly, since we're on the radio, about the art in your home. And my mom had these prints of these little black girls just playing and being so happy and like dancing, and they look like me and my sister. And I always thought they were me and my sister. I thought someone drew it for us because I never saw art like that. And my mom had gotten them from a African American like art festival that my aunt would take us to in LA. Mm-hmm. It was the only time that I had ever been in a space full of beautiful black art in these paintings and these drawings, but I never really saw that when I would go to museums or other people's homes. And I thought about that when my daughter brought up, like, this person looks like me, when she saw like a little kid with like a black mom and like a white father. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to find more art like that. I need to make art like that. I need to like reach out to everyone that's doing that. And how do I make that more accessible? And how do I find it? Like, if I'm having trouble finding it, I'm sure other people are having trouble finding it. But I know that there's like a need and there's like a want. And I think it's so important to like how we grow up and how we connect with people.
You know, that need and want. I've had the privilege of being able to watch Margaret mother her children. And it's what's with such intention. And it's, I watch you look at this societal conditioning and purposefully do the opposite. And, you know, Kimberly, I don't know your children as well, but I get to see them show up in different ways in social media. And then I've met your wonderful son. And there's this way in which your presence around your son, like I had said to him the other day when I saw him, was, do you understand how powerful your mother is? And he kind of blushed for a minute. But talk to me about, you have two lovely children. Any reflections on what Margaret said?
Oh, absolutely. I share some of the same sentiment. My children, their ethnic background is Chinese, Hispanic, and black. And so moving to Oregon from more than 20 years ago, my daughter at that time, she represented the diversity within her school. It became acceptable to say we can check all three boxes because we've got our little Zoe, right? So so I do very much understand that. And I think that when we are not intentional in exposing our children to different art forms that allows to see themselves reflected in it, if we allow them to rely on what they see in school alone as an indicator of the place and the position that they hold in the world, a lot of times it's very confrontational. Those are not necessarily the images that I want my son or my daughter to hold in their head about their place in the world, being both Chinese, Mexican, and Hispanic. We generally speak in terms of slavery, immigration, internment camps. Those are the ideologies that are shared with them about their history and culture in school. So as a parent, it becomes critical that we have that dialogue at home, because that confidence and that stillness that you see in my children just in passing, that's not something that they got in school. That's a part of what happens at home, because I'm nurturing and growing that confidence into them. But they're also very confident because they know who they are and they're unapologetic about who they are.
So to speak on what you said, these images that were often provided that say one mono narrative about history, you chose something incredibly different for your mural.
Yes.
So the mural was completed last summer, and we're still talking about it. We've witnessed the impact that it has in the community. I've watched people take pictures in front of it. I've watched people purposefully have photo shoots in front of it. What do you see as the impact of the Black United Fund's mural?
Well, so I've said this before in interviews, but I really believe that it's a catalyst to create conversation and to stimulate a conversation about action. It's not just to stand around and talk about, but, you know, it becomes a point of reference for us to think about our history and how that's impacted us all. The women that you identify that are listed on that mural, the works and just the courage and the integrity and the determination, the grit, I could go on and on and on. All of those things that they just embody, that instinctively they characterize, we all have benefited from those works. When we think about what it means to have and to have access and to have an equitable experience, there's no one of those stories that you can say has not impacted our experience as a whole, whether you're male or female.
Yeah. You know, I said to you the last time I saw you, I didn't know all of the stories of the women. And there's like this embarrassment that I hold of, like, here you are running a women's organization and you don't really know the story of Ruby Dee or Maya Angelou. And I want to thank you for lifting up these stories and saying to everyone, these are so important. And I feel more powerful and more intelligent for knowing the stories of these women. So thank you for selecting the women of the mural. Margaret, in what ways have you seen art positively impact people, in particular art produced by women of color?
So I went to New York, I think it was about 2 years ago, and I always forget her name, it's probably Karen Walker, and she had done this Sphinx, this huge one, right? And it took up this whole warehouse, and she had modeled it after, it had like this huge butt, it was modeled after a Black woman, you know, and like big lips and a big nose, and it was, I feel like I just stood in front of it, and it was so in our face, this like history, and my history, and your history. And I was just so blown away. And I'm watching all of these white people like walk around and make comments, you know, and comments about this art piece, about like the body on this art piece. And I know it took her forever to make it, and a lot of people had a lot of like thoughts about it. But for me, it moved me so much. And it was like a turning point where I felt like for one of the first times, this was like art that was created for me. To get my story out there and to get like a conversation going. It wasn't about making people feel comfortable with like Blackness. It was like, no, this is Blackness. And that's how it goes. We're not going to feel sorry about it. And it took up so much space and it was so big. And I was like, I want to take up space and I want to make art that takes up space and encourages other Black women to take up space and encourages my children to take up space. And I love what you had said about how your children are unapologetically themselves. And that's all I want for my children and for myself. And I feel like so often we can create this art that kind of gives us that encouragement and that like push and share this like story in a way that we can relate to. And sometimes without words, right? Like this was, I feel like she made it out of like sugar. You know, it was a sculpture. There wasn't really any words along with it, you know, and I work with words a lot, but something where it was just this almost like an object, like she turned into this object. And that was amazing. And I visit museums often, and so rarely do I feel like the art is created for a conversation around Blackness. And bringing that out into the world and doing it in a way where it's like, here it is. This is how it goes.
I've watched you often in your work. You work in photography as well. And you challenge the photographers around you to think about including diversity in their images in all the ways. Talk to us about how you do that, how you move in that world, and the response that people give to you.
I think my most favorite photo that I had done was five Black women in the middle of a street here. And we had observed all these white men crossing the street and everyone stopping and no one made a big deal about it. No one honked. Everyone was like, oh, go ahead. And when these women stood in the street, people were shouting and like honking and getting really angry. And I told them, I was like, you just stand there and you just take up the space and you own that space. And it was so beautiful to have them have all of this stuff coming at them. And they were just like, no, like this is who we are. And after that, I feel like it kind of shifted how I wanted to shoot and the things that I was shooting. And then I started to really pay attention to, I'm in a field that's so dominated by white males who photograph a lot of white females. There's a lot of whiteness. And a lot of times I'm the person that's like, I think this is really beautiful, but why not use a black woman? Why not celebrate that body? Why aren't we celebrating that kind of beauty? You know, and I feel like some people are like, what? Why do you have to be confrontational about it? I'm like, because it's important. I have never seen a woman photographed really that looks like me the way that you're photographing these like white women. I see it more sexualized, but I don't see it as a celebration of beauty and like strength. Mm-hmm. And so that's a thing I keep having conversations about with people and I keep bringing it up because I feel like if I'm not going to be bringing it up or trying it, it might not get brought up. And I'm not really willing to like wait around for someone else to do it.
So let's talk about, thank you. Let's talk about when women are the producers of art. So I want us to think about all the amazing women of color who do spectacular things in the art world. The directors, the poets, the writers, the musicians. Who are some of your favorite women? And what about their work speaks to you? So let's talk about when women produce what they produce.
All right. Well, so I will just jump in because I want to point out a couple women that are local Oregonians that are doing great things. Melissa Lowry, who created the documentary Black Girl in Suburbia. If you haven't checked her out, Google her, check her out. She's an Oregonian, a wonderful, smart woman who's created this wonderful documentary that all young girls should see. And I don't think it's just a black girl thing, but all young girls should see. If we don't give our young ladies an opportunity to be better people, then how do they get there? It's trial and error. So taking a group of women, young women, to see this documentary could be a great opportunity to open up some dialogue and conversation. The other person I want to throw out is Renee Watson. And I'm going to do a little selfless plug here. Renee is going to actually be the keynote for our luncheon that we have that's going to be coming up in May. If you want to learn more about that, you can visit our website, which is bufor.org. But Renee Watson is a young woman that grew up in Northeast Portland. She went to Jefferson High School. She is a author, and she actually has wrote a book that talks about gentrification through the lens of two sisters' eyes that are growing up here in Northeast Portland. So I will let you all talk more broadly about the international world of art, but I just want to get those two local women on the radar.
Thank you. And you said your luncheon is May?
May 25th, and it will be at the Sentinel Hotel in downtown Portland. And you can visit our website to learn more about purchasing a ticket or a sponsorship for our scholarships awards.
And we will be able to witness Renee Watson.
Yes, you'll get to meet her.
And wanted to speak on this and ask Margaret the same question to you. I wanted to say, yes, when you were mentioning all of our local ladies, I wanted to mention Sister Sister. They're also doing a fundraiser right now. They are working with young girls to be producers and directors, and how important, right? So once we change who's doing the production, then we'll see what is being produced is very different. So Sister Sister, I know, currently is doing a fundraiser on their site as well. So there's a local group that you can absolutely tap into. So Margaret, to you the question, who are some of your favorite women and what about their work speaks to you? And this can be national, global, local, whatever you'd like.
So I will say someone local that I have been working alongside and I am realizing is just like a powerhouse. And it was, so Sherita Town is someone I've been working with a lot lately. And she is definitely an amazing like director and creative and speaker. And she's so good about bringing people together and creating events for Black women specifically. Lately, she's been working on a series about hair and our relationship with that. And the last event that she did was at, I feel like it was at the college, and she brought in different people to share these different stories, and I feel like it was this thing where we could all relate on one, like, certain levels. It didn't matter how different it was. And I watch her every day work so hard to get these stories out there. And I feel like, in a way, she's this, like, storyteller, and she's trying to broaden the landscape and the platforms for us. And so that's someone I really, really appreciate. Oh, I was going to say someone else local. Is that...
Yeah, go ahead.
So Rakaya Adams is my ultimate favorite person in Portland. She's a great storyteller. I don't know if she would necessarily say that she was extremely creative, but I could listen to her talk all the time, and her knowledge of Portland and the history that she knows. She's a sixth generation Portlander, which is, like, not a thing that you hear, especially, I think, that if you don't know a lot of Black people here, a lot of Black people have that many generations here. I love her because she wants so badly to continue to stay here and keep our roots here and to continue to share these stories about Portland, and believes so much that we can, like, keep moving forward and get to a place where it can be this diverse place, and us as Black women can exist here. So I don't know. Should I say how we can find these people?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
On the Facebook sure. is
on
a
the
good way.
I like the Facebook.
The Facebook, the internet. I feel like, because I feel like these are important people to connect with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Who, for your events, like MCing, to name it.
They want to put art out there. And I know you wanted artists, but these are, like, people, though, who can drive and, like, produce and, like, direct.
And Rakaya is such a strong advocate for the arts in general. I've had the pleasure of attending a few events just on her namesake mm-hmm. alone. And she's just a great advocate. And I know she might, you know, bat an eye a little bit at the term role model, but she's a wonderful role model for young women just that are just striving to think outside of the box. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, so I want to close out with a question focused on both of you. Margaret, in your article that I had mentioned before, you mentioned Maya Angelou's Still I Rise, and you talk also about Black girl magic. So tell me where you're rising to. What do you have on the horizon
right
with
now?
Your Black girl magic? Yes, please.
Does that just mean in general what I'm working
on? Yeah, what are you working on? Oh, what are you looking forward to, and what do you want to work on? Put it out,
I'm
Margaret Jacobson.
I'm looking forward to writing a book. That is what I'm putting out there. Thank you. and running this creative agency and doing more marketing and hopefully doing more educating. So I've been speaking in classes a lot and, like, teaching a lot. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on, and always more writing, all of the writing, and a comic book.
And a comic
book. I'm going
book.
To make wow. a comic book. So I have a lot of things I'm doing. But yeah,
thank
that's
you.
That's about it.
That's wonderful.
Kimberly, what do you have going on?
Well, outside of being a mother, a wife, an executive, no. So at the Black United Fund, we just have a lot going on in terms of our programming. Our board is going through a process right now, kind of just evaluating our place and really trying to make some decisions about how our building on Alberta Street is going to evolve. We have an opportunity to look at really doing something with the other two-thirds of our building that's not currently occupied, that would invite community in a way that would just be different and unique. So I think that that's really going to be the focus, you know, of my work. It's just really looking at how do we invite community in and use this space and this unique part of the city to be more inviting, and just broadening our programs. You know, I want to see more young people take advantage of college, get access to scholarships, and go on to do wonderful things in our community. So staying focused, being grounded, looking forward, but not forgetting that, you know, our past is important and we can't forget.
Well, thank you, ladies. This has been wonderful for you to join us on International Women's Day, this edition of Art Focus. Well, that just about wraps us up with Art Focus. You can find photos, links, as well as all the guest information on our show page. And we should also probably throw up the May luncheon so you know when that is, so you can make sure that you get yourself a ticket to see Renee Watson. Please follow the link to the Facebook and like the Facebook KBOO Art Focus page as well. Don't forget that Wang Ji Chi Mutu Lecture takes place on March 10th. From 6:30 to 8 at PNCA. Also on March 10th, later that evening, is Deep Underground, presents Know Your Rights at, in other words, 7:30 to 10:30. Don't forget about the RACS 2016 Professional Development Grant Cycle to start soon, Wednesday, March 30th, 3 to 5 p.m. If you missed any part of today's episode, I can't speak, there will be a podcast of this show online later today. It's Andre's goal to meet and introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist in any medium, he wants you to reach out. He wants you on the show. It's also his goal to share information relevant to artists as well. What he learns about residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists, you'll hear about it. Like us on our Facebook page, KBOO Art Focus. Thank you so much for joining us today. Goodbye. Happy International Women's Day.